WingX Pro 7 adds ADS-B traffic. Weekend tornadoes damaged the Kansas Aviation Museum. And the FCC is asked to look again at Light Squared. Hello and welcome to Aero News for Tuesday, April the 17th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Hilton Software LLC has rolled out the addition of ADS-B traffic to WingX Pro 7 that seamlessly integrates traffic targets to its unique patent-pending dual-screen moving map. WingX Pro 7 will initially support 1090 MHz ADS-B traffic and will add 978 MHz ADS-B traffic in May. WingX Pro 7 version 6.4's moving map now highlights obstacles on in-route charts and dynamically declutters the screen as the user pinch zooms. Hilton Software introduced ADS-B weather last year at the Lakeland fly-in, just in time for users to literally watch the infamous tornado bearing down on them. This new development uses traffic location information embedded in the ADS-B data stream for accurate traffic depiction. WingX Pro 7 version 6.4 is a free update for registered users. WingX Pro 7 is available for iPad and iPhone and is available to download from the App Store and iTunes. The tornadoes that tore through Wichita over the weekend caused some pretty extensive damage to the building of the Kansas Aviation Museum, but museum officials say that the airplanes actually fared pretty well. Some of the planes tied down outside were hit pretty hard. A Cessna 337 was flipped over on its top. Some others, such as a KC-135 tanker, weather-vaned into the wind, according to Executive Director Lon Smith. Smith said the worst of the damage appeared to be to the old terminal building's tower, which had its roof lifted off by the storm. He said the storm proves that the museum is in need of greater support from both the community and the state of Kansas to provide indoor protection for the aircraft it displays. A group of four lawmakers has sent a letter to FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski urging him to find a solution for Light Squared that will allow the company to move forward with its plans for a nationwide 4G LTE network. Republicans Brian Bilbray of California and Joe Pitts of Pennsylvania joined Democrats Jim Moran and Gary Connolly of Virginia in sending the letter. They say that Light Squared's plan would increase competition, resulting in lower consumer prices for wireless connectivity. The four have urged the FCC to examine all possibilities that would allow Light Squared to move forward, including the allocation of a new operating spectrum. Meanwhile, two other lawmakers, Republican Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa and Ohio Republican Congressman Michael Turner, are concerned that a declaration of bankruptcy by Light Squared would mean the federal government would be on the hook to pay for all of the interference studies conducted by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, according to a report in PC World. They said they are concerned about the appearance of preferential treatment for Light Squared because of the political contributions made by the company's owners to the Obama campaign. They, too, have reportedly asked the FCC to look for other spectrums on which Light Squared could operate, but any spectrum swap could take years to accomplish and would involve major regulatory hurdles, according to industry observers. Former TSA Administrator Kip Hawley says that the agency's focus on individual passengers at airport security checkpoints is misguided, and that far more emphasis should be placed on getting to terrorists long before they enter an airport security line. In an editorial appearing last week in the Wall Street Journal, Hawley said, among other things, that the agency should refocus its efforts on preventing a catastrophic attack on the travel system, rather than try to assure that every person on every airplane will arrive at their destination unharmed. That aside from a few obvious things like guns and explosives, it's time to do away with the expanding and shifting list of banned items on airplanes. He says that the list has TSA agents spending too much time looking for them, and the list serves as a blueprint to terrorists for what not to use in their next attack. And that the airlines should be forced to eliminate checked baggage fees. He said that one of the reasons things are so often so slow at security checkpoints is because so many people are carrying so much more baggage through the checkpoints to avoid paying those fees. He says airlines can increase the ticket prices if they have to, but more baggage in the hold means an easier time for everyone at the security checkpoint. In short, Hawley says that the agency's attempt to eliminate all risk from flying has made air travel a nightmare for those who need to get around the country. With common sense thinking like that, one must wonder why Mr. Hawley is the former TSA administrator. When Aero News continues, Britain's chief air traffic controller says a proposed Thames River Airport hub for London is a bloody bad idea. Winged excitement returns to the skies of Fort Lauderdale, and you could be hanging with ANN at Oshkosh this summer. Details coming up in a moment.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We continue now with Aero News for Tuesday, April 17th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The head of Britain's air traffic service, NATS, says that the proposed Thames Estuary Hub Airport is in the very worst spot when it comes to moving airplanes around in London's busy airspace. Richard Deacon, NATS CEO, said that air traffic control was not taken into account when the $79 billion proposal was developed. Deacon told the Guardian newspaper that the proposed site sits under the flight paths of four of the city's five airports. He said the placement presents serious challenges to the integration of an airport into the air traffic system, besides causing flight paths to be altered in a way that would increase CO2 emissions and raise the risk of bird strikes. Deacon, it seems, is a proponent of a third runway expansion at Heathrow and says construction of that additional runway would do more to cut CO2 emissions in the UK than any other option under consideration. He said the third Heathrow runway would eliminate most of the time flights spend in holding patterns waiting to land. The British government is to undertake a consultation on London's airports this summer, and unfortunately for Deacon anyway, the coalition which will make the decision is steadfastly against that third runway and will not even bring it up at the meetings this summer. Deacon said that it was a little surprising that no one apparently thought that a conversation with air traffic controllers might have been useful when designing an airport plan. It seems that a dysfunctional bureaucracy is just another of the traits we colonials brought with us from across the pond. After a five-year hiatus, the Lauderdale Air Show returns to Fort Lauderdale on April 28th and 29th. The Lauderdale Air Show will feature the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, the U.S. Navy's F-18 Hornet Demo Team, the Navy SEALs Elite Parachute Demonstration Team, and other military aircraft demonstrations and flyovers from every branch of the military. The Lauderdale Air Show will also feature some of the premier civilian performers in the nation, including the Black Diamond Jet Team, the GEICO Skytypers, freestyle aerobatic world champion Rob Holland, and more. For pilots flying to South Florida for the show, Banyan Air Service at Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport is offering a fuel discount, no ramp fees, as well as hotel and car reservation assistance. The Lauderdale Air Show takes place at Fort Lauderdale Beach with Show Center at Sunrise Boulevard and A1A. The show offers free general viewing, however, premium viewing is available with paid tickets. As mentioned, one of the civilian teams performing in Fort Lauderdale will be the GEICO Skytypers. Their performance will mark the opening of their 12-show season. In addition to their air show performance, the GEICO Skytypers will also skytype giant billboards in the sky. These dot matrix-style messages, typed at 10,000 feet, are 1,000 feet tall and can be viewed from 15 miles away in any direction. And they are created 17 times faster than the more traditional skywriting method. Well, remember when the federal government adopted the nationwide 55-mile-per-hour speed limit as a means of telling us to slow down and save fuel? Well, now comes the word that the Air Force is telling its pilots to do the same thing. No, they're not flying at 55 miles per hour, but they are being told to slow down. According to Kevin Geis, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Energy, the rise in oil prices has added $1 billion to the cost of fueling the Air Force fleet in 2012. That fleet, by the way, numbers 4,693 aircraft. That's twice as large as the fleets of UPS, Southwest, United, and Delta combined. So the Air Force has ordered its pilots to fly higher and slower in an effort to save fuel. Of course, other methods are being employed as well, like plans to install more fuel-efficient engines on some of the aircraft and using diplomatic clearances to fly over friendly nations rather than around them. Still, Guy says the Air Force is the largest energy user in the federal government. You know, it was just about a month ago that I said to myself, "Self, I'd like to be an aviation podcaster." So I answered a help wanted ad from ANN, and thanks to them, today, I are one. Seriously, if working in the field of aviation journalism is something that stirs your soul, or if you're just one of those who sits out there thinking, "I could do that far better than those bozos," well, here's your chance. ANN has again hung out the help wanted sign, as we do about this time every year, to recruit some additional staff for the upcoming EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Think of it as summer camp for aviation writers, reporters, and photographers, with everything except a parent's visitation day. We're looking for writers, of course, but especially people who have radio and television skills, either behind or in front of the cameras and mics. Audio and video production skills are also needed. There's plenty of work to go around at Oshkosh and beyond. Even if your interests are specialized toward warbirds, ultralights, home builds, or even hot air like me. And who knows, your work might impress enough that you'll be invited to join us here at ANN on a regular basis in either a full or part-time position. So why not dust off the resume, let us know what software, computers, and other hardware you're proficient with, and send a few samples of your work to the boss here at ANN. All it takes is an email to jim@aero-news.net and use the subject line "Stringers for 2012. Well, that's it for this edition of Aero News. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to maybe hanging out with you this summer and for some time beyond. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.